Lord, we pray for our offering this morning, Lord, our sermon, and we ask, Jesus, that you would speak to us, that you would help us, Lord, that something that would be said would be of help to everyone gathered here. Then, Lord, to those who listen to us afterwards on the web, Lord, that you would say something that will help them, that will guide them, that will give them perseverance. Whatever it is they need, it would be given to them. And this, Jesus, we ask for all of us here, myself included, that your Spirit would be upon this part of our meeting and anoint the preaching of your word. May I say only what needs to be said, nothing that needs to be said. May the words be taken from my mouth. But may what is said, Lord, that is of you and that is from you, and that will instruct us, guide us, and encourage us. And all of God's people said, amen. It won't be too long. First, Stephen and Tonya, sometimes I do a song at the beginning of your sermon. Is that all right? So stick with me. This crowd are used to it, all right? Stick with me. All right, Handy. So here's my first clue to my sermon, right? Are you with me so far? What have we got? We've got the world, all right? So far, so good. You're with me. Now, a phrase that you may be familiar with. Have you heard the phrase, stop the world and I want to get off? I found a song to go with this. Are you ready for this? For those who may not know who that is the very wonderful Declan Nerney. A famous song by him. For you, you may have never heard it before, so part of your musical education. Now, how many people think we can get a scriptural message from the lyrics of this song? I'm not asking you, my wife, because you know me already. Stop the world and let me off. Stop the world and let me off. You can use any number of phrases that you want, but behind that is this feeling. I've had enough. Have you ever said that? You may not have used the word stop the world, but you've often said, I've had enough. How about this? I'm tired of going round and round. And what you're dealing with there, maybe is this, the aimlessness of life, or just the daily routine and the grind. I've had enough aimlessly. The song goes on to say this. I have played the game of love and loss. And what you have there is a form of rejection. All very common things in life. Maybe not daily, but very common. And when all of that comes in together and comes on top of each other, often what happens is, hey, stop the world and let me off. We use different phrases, throwing in the towel, giving up, quitting, call it what you want. But everyone, or mostly everyone, has experienced in life that feeling of, I've had enough. It's aimless, it's rejection. And ultimately, you feel like giving up. I'm not asking you to put up your hands to acknowledge that. But most people have had it. There's an entire book and dedicated in scripture, which we're not going to look at this morning, the book of Hebrews. And it's all about people who were ready to give up. And the whole book is dedicated to keep them on track and to keep them encouraged and keep them moving along. So just because we are followers of Jesus doesn't mean for 1 minute that we're immune from any of this. Indeed, we're not. Nobody is. So this thing of stop the world and let me off. I've had enough. Life is aimless. Something has really gone wrong. I've heard there's been rejection or disappointment. And it says, I have had enough. I want to give up. That's the chorus. We'll move on. My dreams are shattered. Don't you see? One of the things that really impact people in life. And they tell us, and experts tell us, that when dreams are shattered and hopelessness sets in, it's very, very hard to keep going. You wouldn't think you'd get this out of this kind of a song, would you? But it's it's only identifying what we all experience at different times. My dreams are shattered, don't you see? Because you no longer care for me. One of the major, major reasons why people feel like giving up is because of this. People feel unloved. Experts will tell us this is a major cause of people committing suicide. So hopelessness, unloved. Then it goes on to say, I miss the wonder of your kiss. Now, I struggle a bit with this, right? Because this is not as easy. But at the end of the day, you could say what it is really. It's loss. And it can be loss of intimacy, but it also can be loss of human contact, of where you ultimately feel in your own. Something has happened within you, and you can sense the loss. You may not even be able to put words in it, but something has changed and has impacted you internally. You put all that in together, and you end up with this. And then you ask the question after this is, why did you leave me here like this? How many of us haven't felt that at times? Abandoned. My dreams are shattered, don't you see? Hopelessness. Cause you no longer care for me, I feel unloved. I miss the wonder of your kiss. There's loss of intimacy, loss of being loved. Why did you leave me here like this? Who hasn't said that in some stage in life? And then you're back to stop the world and let me off. So how do we identify with this? I thought I'd come up with a few headings just for us. Ever feel like giving up? Most people have. Ever feel like you're getting nowhere? You're going round and around and around, but it's leading nowhere. Or this? You're losing hope. Oh, you're a Christian. You're meant to have hope. This is not meant to be a reality, but it is. That's why Hebrews was written. Felt like giving up, getting nowhere. You're losing hope. I just want it all to end. I don't know how many times I've heard that phrase, meeting people on a one-to-one, all down through the 25 years that I'm doing this. This is very, very, I think it's about as relevant as you can get. Would you agree? Can you identify with some of that? In your life, in your ministry, whatever. Just in living in the world will do. That's the song. So when you have all this, like giving up, getting over, losing hope, just wanting to all the end, you can identify with Mr. Nerney, stop the world. And let me off. Many reasons for that, and really what we have here this morning is only just merely an introduction, because it's a huge subject. But one of the reasons that people feel like giving up is because of this. Weariness. Weariness is just the killer. And you're going at it day by day, week in, week out, year in, year out, and eventually it takes its toll. Weariness is enough to stop you to say, I want to go no further. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. So weariness impacts us all. And so I was thinking down through the years, you know, when this thing would hit me, a few verses that helped me. And I don't know if it'll be any help to you, but this is one of the verses that used to help me. And it wasn't from Hebrews, actually. It's from Galatians. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There is something to be gained by getting to the end, and there's something to be lost by quitting halfway. And something in me, I said, if I've gone this far, I want to go further. Does that make sense? If I put this much pain into it and this much effort, I want to see what's at the end of it. So, in weariness, but there's something else in that verse. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The choice to stay or the choice to give up is mine. Do you notice that? I have a choice in overcoming that weariness, or I have a choice to give up. That choice and what I do with weariness is left to me. The encouragement there is not to give up. That'll have a thing. But that in itself is not sufficient for us, right? Because if you're completely knackered That may not motivate you. So where do we go then to try and help with the weariness? Like, what can we actually do? Now, there's many things out there. The lads tell us that we can do practically, you know, take up exercise, a hobby, have more friends, that kind of stuff, right? But in the spiritual realm, I think here's a verse and here's a promise. That's from Galatians. Here's a verse I found from Isaiah. It says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." And this is Isaiah writing about God. Now, that's a lovely verse to hang up on a wall. And I'm pretty sure somebody has that thing hung up on the wall somewhere. But it's absolutely useless up on the wall if you're knackered. Or if you want to stop the world and get off. But what it seems to be promising there is that there's strength coming in the spiritual realm for those who want to access it. You don't just get it by reading that verse. That's only the verse, that's just the principle. But there's a means to help, and mentally and emotionally, to overcome that weakness, or that weariness, and to increase the power of the weak. No, and I don't say that because that's our usual Christian response. So, that's the truth. As a woman said to me one time, who was not a Christian, either it works or it doesn't. Let's not pretend. If you give me this, will it do what it says on the tent, so to speak? I have seen the Lord giving me strength at different times when I needed it. And he has kept me going at times. I said, "Lord, I've had enough. Who needs it?" But weariness is a major factor. If you're struggling with that, we need to talk to you some more. But these are some of the things that helped me. The Lord has helped me with weariness at different times. And he has strengthened me. Sometimes it's very practical. Sometimes he just puts something in. I don't know how he does it. Once it's there, I don't even ask the question. I just know when I have it. You know when weariness is wearing you down and when you're gaining the ground again. So weariness is one of the things that causes people to stop. You know, and it can be weariness in a job situation. It can be weariness as a carer. It can be weariness in anything. Being a mom, you know, can be any number of things can make us weary, just the routine of life. Ministry can be quite weary at times and quite tiring. I know we're not meant to say that, but that's the absolute reality, for goodness sake. So weariness. So that's one of the things that causes us. They say in America that for the people who enter the Christian full-time world, or the full-time Christian world, that most of them, half of them only last 2 years. And they're gone. And you know what gets them? Weariness. You never hear talks about it, and yet it's a reality for all of our lives. That's number one. Number two, I thought hopelessness. It's incredible how this can creep in with any of us. You can persevere for so long, and hope kind of grows gradually. It kind of goes gradually, and you end up with hopelessness. I don't know if that's... if that has been your experience, but I've seen it at times. Seen it. That's why Hebrews was written to a whole bunch of people who were walking away. The Christian world is littered with people who started and got weary or lost hope halfway through and never finished the journey. And I don't say that as a criticism. I just say it as an observation. So hopelessness is a major factor. Isn't this a great verse? "Lord, sustain me as you promised, that I may live. Don't let my hope be crushed." Now that's about as being as real now and as honest before the Lord as you can get, isn't it? You wouldn't say that in the middle of a prayer meeting, but that's the truth. "Lord, sustain me as you promised, that I may live." In other words, I'm not only hanging on to life. "Do not let my hope be crushed. Sustain me and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate continually on your decrees." Psalm 119, verses 116, 117, New Living Translation. That's the psalmist. No, that's reality. As a Christian, you can have your hope crushed very easily, of where you want to give up. Following God, doing life. And many people, when this hopelessness hits them, they have no resources, and it takes them out. of what are merely functioning in life, and sometimes they don't even last with life. So here's a prayer: sustain me as you promised, that I may live. Do not let my hope be crushed. But that's real. Say, Lord, I'm only barely hanging on. Unless you do something here, we are sunk. Hopelessness. But unless the Lord does answer that prayer or that verse, then hopelessness will remain. And it's very easy to go to the stage of stop the world, isn't it? So that's one. So weariness, hopelessness. Now here's something that we don't want to admit to in the Christian world. But this is a real, real killer. Despair. People say, how can you follow Jesus and be in despair? Well, I tell you something. Life is rough. Ministry and real life is rough, and ministry can be very rough. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, says this. No, this is as highest authority as you can get, right? He's talking about the despair that he felt. This is despair. We're not talking about weariness. We're not talking about hopelessness. We're talking here about despair. How bad can it get? Of where you're saying, stop the wall and let me off. Well, I'll let Paul speak for himself. Listen to this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. They were doing evangelism. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. You're in the middle of God's will. You're doing exactly what you're meant to be doing. You are where you are. And what do you suffer? Saying is, I'm not too sure we're even going to make this. This is the Apostle Paul. So there is tremendous pressure. What gets most Christians is they're not able to handle the pressure. We want a Jesus that removes all pressure from us the very minute we feel it. It doesn't go like that. Life is pressurized for all of us. There's pressure at work. There's pressure at home. At home, there's pressure with the extended family. There's pressure even getting to work in the morning, especially if you live in Dublin. Pressure everywhere. There's pressure in demands in work. There's pressure in ministry to produce results that only God can do. So we were under such great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. So we despaired of life itself. And so how did they get out of it? Well, he continues on, he says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. This is going to take us out. This is going to kill us. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This is what he discovered after he came out of it, right? He didn't discover this while he was in it. He discovered the key thing there of handling that level of despair and pressure was reliance on God. In a word, it was faith. But how did it come about? Because if we feel under pressure and we're relying on God and we're saying, I'm not too sure if this is going to survive. And this is how it seemed to work for Paul. And maybe this is a help to you here. This is 2 Corinthians. It says this. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. It's incredible, but it seems to be this was the answer. Their hope was sustained through prayers of others. That they saw actually God doing something. It wasn't just nice words on the page. It was real life. And they saw the predicament they were in. They saw how the Lord rescued them and pulled them back. And they discovered, well, there was two things. There was a reliance on God. But all the lads had prayed for them. And it was that prayer that made the difference. Otherwise, they were singing, Faith of Our Fathers. No, they were singing, Stop the World and Let Me Off. That's what the boys were singing in Asia. Then he said, the many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You know why it's so hard to pray? Because it's so effective. Do you know, they tell us throughout the world, and this is not a criticism, an observation, that 75% of the people who attend any kind of church never go to a prayer meeting. And at the moment, it's nearly up to 80%. Because prayer is difficult to do at times, and it can be hard going, and you might not necessarily see the results of it immediately. And so we're inclined to give up. People pray personally, but not corporately. And so to stop the world and let me off kicks in very quickly. So it's weariness that gets people in prayer. It's hopelessness as well, because sometimes you don't get the answers they get. And they've tried that, and they end up more discouraged, and maybe to a level of despair, and say, well, I won't do that anyway. That doesn't achieve anything. 2 Corinthians, I was quoting from there. So weariness is one. Would you agree? Hopelessness is another that it causes. Despair. One more. One of the things that has helped me over the years, and to this far, that's not to say that I won't be sunk, to this far was this. I don't want to displease God. No, it's not because I'm shockingly holy, right? That is not the reason. That is not the reason. But let me give you the verse and I'll tell you why this has helped me. The one who is right with God will live by faith. We know that. You know. And I am not pleased with the one who pulls back. If I'm going to walk with God and continue to walk, it's always a walk of faith. And faith and trust go together. Now, it's very easy to say that and put up on the wall and all that. But it's actually deliverance. So I don't want to displease God of where I'll stand before. No, we already have a lot of things to answer for anyway. But we don't want to be adding to that list, right? So I don't want God to stand before him eventually. He says, look, if you hadn't quit, or if you hadn't got weary, or if you had let me fill you back up, here were people that I had destined for you to meet or to minister to or to actually help come to know me. But the all weariness and the hopelessness and the despair set in, Pat, and he did it another way. But I do not want God not to be pleased with me when I meet him. And of course, I can't afford not to please him on earth, because then my bargaining power as such could go. So they're one of the reasons. But stop the world and let me off. Who hasn't felt like giving up? A job, a marriage, a ministry. Who hasn't felt it? Who hasn't felt at times that we've tried things and no matter what we tried, it hasn't worked and it hasn't helped. And if it has helped, it's only helped for a short time and hopelessness kicks in. Who hasn't felt that? And you move from hopelessness to despair and say, this thing is not now hopeless, you know, beyond repair. And despair and disappointment and discouragement and all kicks in. And with those three, that's enough for us to stop the world and let me out. I think it's only the mercy of God that we are here and that we still have survived. One more thing in closing. If we think we have it bad, and we do at times, I'll admit that, people out there have it 10 times worse because they don't have access to anything of this. They don't know anything about having their weariness filled with God because they have no idea how to do that. Often they don't have hope. They have to live with disappointment, despair, and a lot of people do not necessarily make it. But if there's one thing I learned, put all this thing together, the key here to overcoming this, and it's easier said than done, the key here is to continue to trust. But that's not easily done when you're dealing with all of these things. But the walk with God, how you please God, is we continue to believe, and when we continue to believe, by the grace of God, we continue to trust. And if we continue to trust all the ways, then he'll be, at the, when it's all said and done, our lives will have been proved to be worth something. I could give you many examples of people who have come to me down through the years who were ready to quit, and actually in some cases had quit. And I talked to him about the weariness, I talked to him about hope, and I said there is hope in Jesus. But it couldn't just be words. It would have to be where it's real to him and where the thing would lift. Stop the world and let me off. Lord, I've had enough. Lord, I am ready to quit. Or maybe it is, Lord, I'm getting there. Unless you do something, this is where I'm going to end up. At least that's real before him, isn't it? And if that's real before him, then the help that is going to come has to be just as real. And so that something has to come to replace that weariness. Hope has to be renewed. I cannot exist without hope. You take hope from me and I'm sunk. I need to have hope. He does give hope. And when he does give hope, it helps with the weariness. It helps with the despair. And it gives a lease of life. No, it's not a mountain full of where everything you're floating along. But it's enough to keep you going to the next day and the day after. If we were to stand in the close of this and ask Jesus, Jesus, was there a stage at your life and your ministry verses, stop the world and let me off? Was there a stage in Jesus' life of where he said that? I would say to you, Gethsemane was very close to it. And he prayed, and the angels were sent, and they strengthened him. And he finished the work that only he could do, and because he finished it, he can help me with the weariness, hopelessness, despair. And he can even help me with pleasing him. Because he will strengthen me in where I am weak. But the decision to believe and to trust rests with me all of the time. If you're struggling with this, talk to us. Your fellow pilgrims here. And you get us on the good day and the bad day. We talk to us because this is real. A word of prayer and then I'm finished. Lord, we come before you and say, Lord, we know what weariness is like at times. Lord, we know when hope is robbed from us, what it does to us. Lord, we are not meant to be people of despair, but Lord, we have been at times, despairing even of life. And often, Lord, we have been ready to quit. And Lord, by your grace, you have done something and you have managed to sustain us. I pray, Lord, that we'll be among the people when we stand before you, Lord, that you will be pleased with us. Lord, it won't be a perfect record. There's no point saying it will be. Lord, the perfection will be because of Christ. Lord, we'll have a lot of imperfections ourselves. But Lord, we want to pray and ask us, Lord, that you would sustain us at moments or at weeks or at months of where, Lord, stop the world and let me off is a daily reality to us. Lord, at that time, may hope be renewed. May weariness be lifted. May despair be displaced, and may the thought of pleasing you, Lord, by faith be renewed. And all of God's people said,